And it's been an interesting week. So I'm getting the lesson ready for this, and so I had it done Monday, and then I'm trying to get six. Well, they downgraded it to four because I can do, but I'm going to Haiti in a month and to do a women's conference. And so there's a 3-day women's conference, and I have to get a talk ready for pastor. It's all pastor's wives, and I'm really excited about that. So I'm sitting down at the computer today. I thought I'm going to whip out one of those sermons, and God help me. I knew, you know, you kind of know what you're doing, but you need to get on the computer, research it, get everything together. So the women's conference is such a warm fuzzy. It's like I'm working on Hephzibah, and that means my delight, God's delight is in you. And I'm thinking, oh, this is just wonderful. This is so I worked it out. And so then I thought, I better go over tonight's thing. I've got it all ready. And it was like, whoa, the giant's bloody head. And this, I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm like this, I'm bipolar or something. I'm going from one to the other. Quite a difference, but they're both very, very needful. And with that in mind, I think this is okay to do. Sherry's going to announce on Sunday, but I am going to Haiti, and I'm very excited. The Lord has just opened the door, but we are going to bless the pastor's wives. They have nothing in Haiti, and pastor's wives there, their main function is to cook and clean and take care of the family and the pastor. And so they're very behind the scenes and kind of these forgotten people. And so the host missionary decided this year she was going to do something just for the pastor's wives. Usually they have the husband and wives come and they do it both at once, but she said, I really feel like the Lord wants to minister to them, to the pastor's wives. So we're going to be giving a 3-day conference just to build them up and to refresh them and to, you know, just deal with the things that are in them. But we are also going to give them, and this is okay, I hope Sherry, she's not looking, so I guess it's okay. She's going to announce on Sunday. We're going to give gift bags to them. And there's four women, four pastor's wives that are going over there that are going to take part in the conference. And I'm one of them. And it's just, I'm just honored to be going over there because Haiti has just got my heart. And but we want to bless the pastor's wives. They get nothing. I mean, for them, you know, they have nothing. And so she really wanted to help them. So all the four churches that are represented are bringing things for gift bags for them. And our church, we're doing 10 of the gift bags. And so I'm going to be putting a basket out there. And I thought, this is something the church, my church always comes up to the plate. But they want to give each of the ladies a watch, not Rolex, just a cheap ladies' watch. So we're going to get 10 watches. You guys can give, what did I say? Oh, okay. When you're up here speaking, when someone's laughing, it's like, what did I just say? Don't do that. It's my brother, so I can. He's got childhood things he can tell. So we're going to get 10. We're going to have donations, and we're going to let the church people bring in 10 watches. And if we get more, you know, we'll bless others. We're also going to put in 10 things of perfume or cologne for them. And I'm going to put them all under the plane so the size thing doesn't play into it. And also 10 women's T-shirts, medium and large. We're going to do a little bit of both that are nice T-shirts, like glitzy type things. We're going to make gift bags for them. And for them to get watches, I mean, over here, you know, we get a $10 watch, and it's like, well, this is just a cheap one. For them, that's like gold. And so we will be starting that. And Sherry's going to share. I hope that's okay, Sherry. No daggers yet. She's thumbs up. She'll be officially announcing it on Sunday. But that kind of worked into what I was saying. So I am just going to tell you guys, I'm going to be open with you. In our house, we've been dealing with new issues since my husband fell down the steps. Some things have been highlighted, and I would tell you, it's been a difficult season for us. We have learned a whole lot about anxiety and depression and things like that, but it is a road that I've never walked on, neither one of us. And so this series, I told him at the office the other day, you know, God has a lot of names, you know, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. And I am just amazed. I call him Jehovah Sneaky because here I am studying on Goliath Must Fall, and especially tonight, it's right in the areas where I needed guidance. I've been like, God, what are we doing? And Sonny and I are just working through. I believe God is going to use it for his glory. He wants to teach us. So I don't want to back out too soon, but I just want to learn. So the things that we're going to be doing tonight, we've listened, the video for tonight is just excellent, the whole thing. It's about a 20-minute video. And I said to Sonny, you know, he's really open. He's the guy on the video, Lou Giglio, has went through depression. He had a mental breakdown, 6 months of just sitting in. So he knows whereof he's talking about. And it's interesting listening to, since we have been going through this, we have met so many people that are suffering from anxiety and depression. And we're realizing it's this secret thing, like you're almost ashamed to talk about it because there's something about it that seems shameful, you know. I don't know if it's because it's a mind thing, but it's the real deal. I know that God has the power to take care of things, but I also know that sometimes he wants us to learn how to motate through the things. So tonight, we're going to watch the video, but I've given you a handout. This was such a needful thing, and most of these things are going to come up on the video, but I thought it would be helpful for you to take them home. On the video, they're going to talk with about three areas that usually the three roots of fear, and it's really interesting to listen to the roots. It'll be like, I didn't even know that was a root. So they'll be talking about that. Then they're going to give you four steps to use when you're going into anxiety. And I will tell you that we have used these steps. We're going through some things right now where, you know, the enemy's just beating up our minds, and we have used these. And I will tell you, it has been wonderful. It has helped a lot. It really has. And when we get done with it, we're going to go into the two main ones that have just been eye-openers for us. But one of the things, and this may help you, one morning, and I think I shared this earlier, I was just praying over my husband, and I was just like, you know, you get to, usually, you know, he's the one praying over me, but I'm just like, this is not God. I'm tired of this. And I sat up in bed. He came in, and I sat up in bed, and I had just had it. You know how you just had it? It's like this righteous anger comes over you. I wasn't angry at my husband. I'm like, this, you're a man of God. This has got to stop. If this is Satan, it's going. It's going today. So I sat up in bed, and he knows when I get like this that, okay, she's in warfare mode. And you would probably be like, hey, you know, but it's not, it's just, it's got to be. I'm angry at Satan. So I sat up in bed, and I just begin saying, in the name of Jesus, I command you, leave my husband alone. And I begin naming off all the things that he was going through, calling them by name. And then the Lord gave me a vision, and if this helps you, it helps Sonny, because when we're going through this, I can tell but that he needs this. But the Lord gave me a vision, and I said to Sonny, the Lord just said to me to tell you, son, sit up here next to me and don't get off the seat. No matter what things look like, don't get off the seat. And in Ephesians, it talks about we're seated with God in heavenly places. He never expected us to be down in the battle. In fact, that's why they said David does not represent us, it represents Jesus, because Jesus does the battle. He's already won the battle. So when Sonny starts getting chest pains or the things that come with it, I will say to him now, honey, crawl back up on the throne. You will picture him sitting up there. That's this little guy next to the big God with his feet dangling. But God's saying, son, stay there. I've got this. Don't do it. And sometimes when anxiety comes, you just need that visual to do that. The other thing that has helped us is it's not about you. Anxiety is not about you. It's some circumstances that you have got to give to God. And if you take them on, you're going to go under. You can't handle it. And the other thing is, this will come out in the film, but this has been an eye-opener. It talks about identifying when you're going through anxiety. So many times it's not my anxiety. First of all, anxiety is not the root. It's a thing. And the root is something else. And so many times we're praying against anxiety, saying, Lord, take this anxiety. But God's saying, but anxiety is not the problem. And the root is fear. And so then you need to identify what is making me anxious. And this will tell you about it. It's on your paper, too. We have done this, and it has helped significantly. When things are going on, we will say, over-expound on what's going on. Lord, I'm anxious tonight. because this FedEx job is driving me nuts. I don't know if we're going to get it done in time. I'm anxious because I'm afraid we're going to lose money. Lord, I need your help right now. And identify, it can be a person. Many times it is a person that's causing your anger. Name the person. Be very specific. Maybe you're going to a doctor and you need to say, I'm going to see Dr. Brownell tomorrow. He's going to do some scans on me to find out what's wrong. And Lord, I'm nervous about that. I'm fearful about that. Name specifically what it is. And then it says it's God's. Leave it there. Don't pick it up. He doesn't want you to pick it back up. But we've been guilty, and probably you have too, where we just said, I'm anxious tonight. God, take the anxiety away. And that's not the problem. The problem, and you need to let God reveal. You usually know what the problem is, and you need to identify the problem. So he's going to help us tonight with that, and that's all on your paper. And this series tonight, it's about a 20-minute thing, and I just said to Sunny, I hate doing videos because it seems like a cop-out, but I can't do it justice because this guy, he really hits the nail on the head. And so tonight's series by far has been our favorite. We've listened to it like, I don't know, probably 5 times happened. And we'll pray, Sunny go, let's play it again. And each time we get something out of it. So I gave you your cheat sheet to kind of help you go through it, but he gives a lot of just a lot of things with it. And so I gave you the basics, but we're going to watch it. And I put on your sheet, on mine they're red, but I put some Bible verses on there. And the Bible is a weapon that you need to, and it encourages you to memorize some verses that are power against Satan. The first one that's on there is the one that they suggest. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. I mean, just cry that out in the night. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, my tongue is rejoicing, and my body will rest secure. I mean, what a great prayer in the middle of the night. Okay, good night. I'm going to sleep. I'm resting secure. And, you know, and he talks about this. God can miraculously take anxiety away. You can lay hands on you, and it can be gone like that. But many times, it's a process. And we have seen what's happening is learning to do these. Sometimes it'll come back, and it'll come back, but it lessens it. And each time, so it's a walk that we're going to go through. So if you have any suffering of anxiety in your home or depression, the root is fear. Call it what it is. I'm not anxious. I'm fearful. And fear is the root. And then begin to work through the process. And so I'm going to come back with you at the end. But if you need to, you're welcome to take notes on the paper or whatever you want. But we'll come back together. Hopefully this is helping you. I pray it will. I can tell you it has helped us. And so if you're suffering with it, listen close, take good notes, and at the end we'll get back up and do that. So, honey, can you play that for us?
The story of David and Goliath is a story of two hills. On one hill is the Israelites. On the other is the Philistines. The valley in between, the valley of Elah. This is where the battle between these two nations was set to take place. The valley is the intersection of where Israel has been, and in it is the thing standing in the way of their future. But in this situation, the Israelites were terribly afraid because they suspected that whoever went down into that valley wasn't coming out of it. To them, it was literally Death Valley. What's a bit ironic about this situation is that the Valley of Elah is an incredible piece of land for growing crops. In that region, the Valley of Elah is precisely the place where you would expect to see life springing up from the ground. And yet here it is, and this moment in history being represented as the complete opposite. It's where things go to die. And this is often what our giants do to us. They put a mask of death over the land of life. They trick us into staying on our hill, staying in the past, always afraid of confronting the future. Today, we're going to explore what gave David the eyes to see and the courage to believe that when he stepped into that valley, he was not going to step into a valley of death, but instead into a land of life. Welcome to part 2 of Goliath Must Fall. So So welcome back to our small group study for Goliath Must Fall, and welcome to all you guys that are joining in as well. You might be new to the group, or it may be a few weeks since we were together. So let me remind us of the two big ideas that we left the last session on, and that's this, that we are not David in the story of David and Goliath. So let's begin rallying around that idea that Jesus is the champion in our story. So whatever we're facing today, our hope is in Jesus and what he has done and what he can do in our lives right now. The second big idea that we ended on was talking about how our motivation can't just be our freedom. We live in a very self-focused generation. And so we want everything God does to terminate with us. Help me, change me, free me. But it's not all about us. And that's a powerful, game-changing truth. And the power comes when we see what David saw. And he saw that personal freedom and God's glory were connected together. And I want us to see that again today. Our personal freedom in Christ and God getting glory in our lives through Christ are always woven together into one story. So our prayer today isn't, you know, only, God, I have a giant, it's terrorizing me, it's tormenting me, demoralizing me, but I want us to add, and it's stealing your glory in my life. To put it practically, if someone's struggling with alcoholism and they're fighting to stay sober, they're fighting to keep their job, their marriage is on thin ice, their kids' relationships are fragmenting, it's not just about the fact that a giant has control of their life. It's about the fact that God isn't getting glory through their life. The whole story of their life is the power of this addiction, the program we might try to choose, the decisions that happened as a result of it, putting all the pieces back together. That's the story, when the story can be God is greater than addiction. God's greater than every giant. And if we'll trust him, we can walk in the work that he's done in our life. So today we're talking about how a certain giant in our lives has to come down. And I think it's a giant that a lot of us are struggling with on some level in our lives, and it's the giant called fear. And so today we say together, for our freedom's sake and for Jesus' glory's sake, fear must fall. Now, again, someone may say, I'm not afraid. I'm not a scaredy cat. I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm not afraid of taking a chance. I'm not afraid of bungee jumping. I'm not a fearful person. And there are others of us who quickly can say, that's the one thing that's crippling my life. But I bet if we think about it, all of us on some level are struggling with fear. I'll tell you where we get one big clue is that in Scripture, there are 365 verses that say, fear not. Some version of do not fear is in Scripture, one verse for every day of the year, more than almost any other particular thing that you would want to wrap a verse around. So why are there so many verses in Scripture that say, do not be afraid, fear not? Because we are a fearful people. And that's what was happening in the Valley of Elah when this big 9-foot-tall Goliath was taunting the people of Israel. Listen to what it says. And so he comes out, Goliath does. He does his spiel. And this is what it says in chapter 17, down in verse 11. On hearing the Philistines' words. Okay, think about that. On hearing a man's words. Not some creator's words, but just a man. Granted, he was 9 foot tall. Granted, he was undefeated. Granted, he was covered in armor, and it looked like the armor was impenetrable from every angle. Granted, his spear had a tip on it that weighed 15 pounds. Not a spear that weighed 15 pounds, just the tip of the spear weighed 15 pounds. That flying through the air would put fear in a normal person. So yes, granted, he's not your ordinary human being, but he is just a man. And it says, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul, who is the king of Israel, and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. And so I have to ask the question, what is it that's trickled into my life? What word? What story? What message has worked its way into my life that has dismayed me
or terrorized me? What am I afraid of? And when we ask that question, I think a lot of us are going to figure out, you know what? Maybe the giant of fear is in my life more than I thought it was. Why are we afraid? I think we're afraid for a few different reasons. Number one, you could be a fearful person simply because of your conditioning. Now, I don't want to ask a show of hands, but some of us grew up in a household where the whole climate was fear. In Atlanta, Georgia, where I grew up, wintertime was a perfect picture of the fear climate of Atlanta, Georgia. Because whenever it was going to snow 1 inch in Atlanta, everyone ran to the store, they raided the shelves, everybody stocked up on salt so we could, you know, keep the stairs in front of the house clear. We battened down the hatches. We wrote love letters to all of our family members. We checked up on the condition of our will, and then we stared out the window all night long to wait and see if one flake was going to fall from the sky. People who live in Michigan and Wisconsin, they're just looking at us like, what is wrong with those people? But you could have had that every day of your life. A version of that. A parent that said, don't go outside because you might get hurt. Don't play with that because you might get hurt. I don't want you to go over there because I'm afraid something will happen. We're driving in the car. Have you ever driven with a fearful driver? And you're like, I don't know what's worse, a careless driver or a fearful driver, where you're looking at every mirror and you're holding onto the steering wheel and you're afraid at any moment that something's going to happen. And a lot of us grew up in a climate like that, with parents like that, in a culture like that. And it's put in you a fearful spirit. So you're 20 years old, 30 years old, 40 years old, 60 years old. You own your own business. But yet underneath it all is this idea that something bad probably will happen all the time. It could be that you have fear in your life, not because of the climate or the culture that you were conditioned to, but because of the fact that you're concealing something in your life. You know, one of the things that makes us most fearful is that we will be discovered. And if there's something under the hood in our lives that we don't want the world to know, we are going to have an underlying spirit of fear in our lives. And we're going to wonder when and where and how are people going to discover the real me. And that's going to put us on a trajectory of a fearful life. The third thing that puts fear in our lives, maybe it wasn't conditioning, maybe it's not concealing, but it's controlling. I don't know, are there any controllers in the group? That would be all of us. But the heavy-duty controllers among us are the most fearful ones in the room. See, control, I'm a controller, so can I just admit my own giant right here? I have a problem with controlling things. And boy, that was strong. We don't like to say that. I wish I could just edit that out of this moment right now, because we don't like to admit those kind of things. But let me put a good spin on it for all of us controllers. Have you ever sat in an airport between flights and thought, if you gave me enough money, I could solve the problems in this airport right now? Have you ever sat in traffic in your car and said, if I were the mayor or the governor or the whatever, I could fix all of this? That's controlling. That's the good side of controlling. It's seeing what is and wanting to make it the best it can be. And I think visionaries have that. But the negative side of controlling is wanting to manage information, relationships, and outcomes of all the circumstances in our lives. And if you have a controlling spirit, you are afraid and you are not sleeping good at night. If you grew up in a fear-conditioned climate, if you're concealing something that you don't want the world to know, or if you're a controller, you're staring at the ceiling at night. And underneath all of that is a spirit of fear, a giant of fear in our lives. And if God is God, the creator of the universe, the great I am, the same yesterday, today, and forever, no rival, no equal, no threats in his world, and we're his children, then fear is the number one way the enemy can steal the glory of God in our lives. Because we come and gather and sing these amazing songs about the power of God, and then at 4:30, we're still staring at the ceiling trying to solve and manage all the problems of the world. And God wants the giant of fear to come down in our lives so that we can be free and so that he can get glory in our lives. I've struggled and talked about it in other books and in the book Goliath Must Fall as well, about some of my own giants. And I had a strong run-in with, almost a deadly run-in with, anxiety and depression several years ago. So at the end of the day, I kind of had to peel the layers off, and I don't know, maybe this is going to be a light bulb moment for somebody today, but I realized that anxiety is not a thing. So at the beginning, it was like I had an anxiety attack, or I have this anxiety issue. And what I had to have for a little while, I'm just going to be transparent if that's okay, I had to have medication for a while to manage this crisis of anxiety and depression in my life. And one day, because I'm inquisitive, I went in and said to the doctor, what does the medicine do that I'm taking? Because I had learned by this time that a lot of people in America are taking something to help them sleep at night. An enormous percentage of us are taking something or drinking something at the end of the day to take the edge off, or help us wind down. These are all the good phrases, or help us get to sleep at night. Now, here's the kicker. None of them keep you asleep, but they do help you go to sleep. Some of them by nature actually don't allow you to stay asleep, but they do allow you to fall asleep. And so I asked, what are we all taking? And my doctor said, well, simply this, here's how it works. Do you know about a computer cache? And I said, well, I don't know a lot about computers, but I know enough to know what the cache is. That's where all the information that the computer has processed is being stored in some sort of a short-term, module. And he said, yeah, so when you want your computer to work faster and better, sometimes you need to refresh your cache. And that dumps out all of that information so your computer can work faster. Have I lost anybody on cache, or is everybody sort of there? He said, well, that's what that medicine does to your brain. It dumps out your short-term memory banks of the cache of information that's causing you to feel anxious. It erases it all. That's why if you stay on that medication, you leave cabinet doors open and the water running in the faucet. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody or not. Probably not, because we've got an amazing group of Jesus followers who are just so saturated in the Word of God and living these, fearless lives of faith. But if you've noticed that I left the water running, or the garage door up all night, or my car door was open, that's because the medicine emptied the cache and you forgot that you were getting out of the car. And you also forgot what was making you feel anxious for a season. But here's what the medicine can't do. The medicine can't deal with the thing that was making you feel anxious in the first place. Only Jesus can help you do that. And we have a champion fighter named Jesus Christ, who steps into the valley of our anxiety, of our conditioning, of our concealing, of our controlling, and says, let me be in charge of your life. And in the process of that, let's deal with the things that are keeping you up at night. So for the first few months and even a year after all this happened, I would say to people, I had a big anxiety episode. And then I would say, it's not completely gone away. It doesn't manage my life anymore, but it's like 50 miles away. And if I feel it sort of getting close, I know what to do. My anxiety, talking about the anxiety. And then I realized one day, anxiety isn't a thing. And if I could just go a little further, depression isn't a thing either. So when someone says, I'm struggling with depression, depression isn't a thing, it's a symptom of a thing. It's a symptom of a giant called fear. And it's rooted probably, and I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a psychiatrist, I don't claim to know your world, but I have a hunch that at the bottom of our struggle with fear, call it worry, call it anxiety, I have a hunch that at the bottom of that is a thing. And I have a hunch that the thing is a person. That some relationship broke down. And that's what's making us anxious at night. That's what's keeping us up at night. And if that's the case, we have to begin to understand that Jesus is giving us the ability to look to him, to put our hope in who he is, to claim his control over our lives ultimately and begin to trust him with the outcomes of our lives. Fear and faith cannot occupy our mouths at the same time. Worship and worry cannot be in our mouths at the same time. One displaces the other. So our talking about what we're worried about pushes worship out of our vocabulary, and worship pushes what we were worried about out of our vocabulary. A friend of mine said it like this. He said, fear is faith in the enemy. And so to turn this equation around and say, I'm going to put my faith in the God who created me, gave his life for me, went down in the depths for me, defeated my enemies, and has called me up to live in his life. A God who loves me perfectly and unconditionally. I'm going to put my faith in his ability to control the outcomes of my life. And when we do that, the giant of fear is going to fall in our lives. It's amazing, this passage of scripture from the same giant fighter who was in the valley of Elah, David. He writes this in Psalm chapter 3, verse 5. And this has become a banner for me, because fighting against fear is a continual fight. And it progressively will get better, but it might not instantly go away. And so please know that in this study, we're not promising quick, easy, simple, bumper sticker size solutions to life. We're inviting each other into a process of discovering the finished work of Jesus, discovering the grace of God and stepping into that finished work. And so this is still a key verse for me. David wrote, I lie down and sleep. Now, how many of us would just like to be able to say that? Okay, that's different right there. God will get glory in your life if you can say that. I lie down and sleep. Last night, guess what I did? I went to sleep. I mean, not a lot of people doing that. So that would be number one. I wake again. This is good news. Because the Lord sustains me. In other words, David had discovered something that we have to discover. We have to be honest with whatever's underneath our fear. And we have to be able to say what it is and transfer it into the hands of God. Two things. Number one, we have to be able to say what it is. You have to be able to name what is keeping you up at night. And so when you're there and you feel the pressure and you're staring at the ceiling and you're trying to solve the affairs of your family or the affairs of your kids or the affairs of your former spouse who's now in a relationship with somebody else, or you're trying to replay the story again. Why did she leave? Why did he leave? Why did it all fall apart? Why did it have to happen this way? And you're replaying the story again and again. At some point, you just have to say, God, I am anxious right now, and I'm anxious because of what my mom said. And I'm replaying it in my mind, and the result is dismay and fear in my heart. Or I'm replaying what my coworker said or didn't say. Or I'm thinking about that circumstance and the outcome of that situation and how that's made me feel uneasy about life. And so, God, this specifically is what I'm afraid of. So now I've got a name, and it's not anxiety or I can't sleep or I'm just depressed or I don't feel good. It's this. This is what's keeping me up tonight. And then it's, what do I do with it now? Do I hold on to it all night long and try to turn it 18 different ways until I can solve it? Or do I put it in the hands of God and say, you love me? I know you do, because a cross is standing in my story that proves that. Your love is not based on my performance. It's perfect love. And the scripture says perfect love casts out fear. So I'm going to trust in the fact that you were sold on me before I even knew who you were. And you gave everything you had to be in this relationship with me. So I'm going to trust in that kind of love, and I'm going to take this thing that I can't solve and put it in your hands, and I'm going to go to sleep. Knowing that while I'm sleeping, you are solving. While I'm sleeping, you are working. While I'm sleeping, you are doing what you've done before time, managing the affairs of the world and believing that maybe I can't see it, but I believe that you're managing them for my good and for your glory. The psalmist David said a different way, I've set the Lord continually before me. In other words, I moved out of view that thing, just temporarily maybe, to put God in view. I've set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my tongue rejoices and my heart is glad and my flesh dwells secure. The giant of fear is dead. Might still be deadly if you let it, but that giant has gone down, and there is a mighty God standing in the middle of your story today. Find him, see him, worship him, and trust him, and watch faith be born again in your heart, and watch sleep return to your world.
I just couldn't put it any better, and so I said to Sonny, he's going to have to just share it because it's good stuff. And because we have been trying it, I can stand before you and say it has helped, and especially identifying that was a huge thing. So on your paper that I've given you as a handout, some of the other things one of the things at the end, and I think, Susan, you've shared about praise before, like putting on worship music. It changes things. We have, when things start going bad, we have music going in our house constantly, just praising the Lord. And so it's very, and did you catch the one that worship and worry, they both can't fill our mouths at the same time. One's going to confront the other, and I thought that's good stuff. And also I liked, and I put it in big letters, this is a Lou Giglio phrase, but it says, fear is faith in the enemy. That really it's like, I don't want to put any faith in the enemy, but basically the enemy has taken the place that God should hold in your life and that he should be glorified. And so this is probably, after listening to most of the videos, this one, I have never met so many people, since my husband especially has been, we've been kind of wheeling our way through it, trying to figure out, you know, okay, how are we going to do this? That there's been people that I'm like, you? I mean, you can't tell. But I was really interested. Did you catch about the medication? Isn't that interesting? I listened to that and I thought, well, that's interesting because it deadens the immediate things that are bothering you so that you can function, but it's only temporary. When the medication wears off, it's still there. And I've come to the place back in the day, you just need to stay away from that medication. You need to stay away from it. And we've even versed that. We've even said that, you know, like that kind of medication, it's just not good. But we went to the doctor and he said, you know, Sonny, here's the thing. What happens, especially like with a head injury and things like that, something's thrown off. And your body is adapting, and some people, it was a crisis in your life that you had to live through, and you don't know the changes that have taken place in you. Or, you know, like it says, sometimes it was what you were raised in. You were raised in a home of fear, and you've lived with it all your life, but you've never found a way to get out. And here's the thing. God is, the doctor told Sonny, he said, temporarily, your body needs to know its new norm. And it, because it's trying to overcompensate and it's trying to figure out, you know, how can I deaden this, and it's not working. So the medication, well, you know, you wean yourself into it, and then 6 months or whatever, you wean yourself off of, but by then your body has learned this is the norm. This is how I handle this norm, and then you can wean yourself off of it. And so I'm not against medication anymore. I used to be, you know, and even my dad, he prayed, things happened. He was a healer, and we saw things happen. Later on in his life, he said, you know, when I carried the anointing, I didn't realize that I had the anointing. He said, it was just normal to me to lay hands upon people, and it was normal for me to see demonics come out of people. It didn't frighten him. He laid hands on people. He expected them to be healed, and he walked in a powerful legacy with that. But to him, it was just normal. As kids, we didn't go to the doctor. Well, maybe Kenny did. I don't know. He seemed to get everything. But for the rest of us, poison ivy or anything. But he prayed, and we walked. We lived in an environment where it was not a welcome place for things to happen. But my dad said, there came a point when I got out of ministry, I didn't know what I walked in. I just figured, you know, this is my life. But when he laid down the ministry, and as the years began to progress, he said, I knew now what I had. And he said, if I could go back now and realize that was a gift from God, man, he said, I would have appreciated it a lot more, because to him it was just normal. And when my dad passed away, he told me, he says, Kay, my family is covered in the blood of Jesus every day. My grandkids, my children, he never missed a day. He said, I cover you every day. And I said, Dad, I feel your covering. I sometimes wonder, you know, why did, you know, that didn't happen to me. I realized it was the prayer of my dad. But when he passed away, a covering left. I felt it. It wasn't immediately, but things started happening, and I'm like, wow, it's a new norm. And God began to say to me, he said, Kay, pick up your legacy. Your dad's not here, but you can pray, and it's your legacy. And your dad can't carry you. He's in his reward now. There's a legacy. It's time for you to pick it up. And so I'm learning. I have a faith. The thing that's gone on in my life right now, I'm going to be brutally honest, I have no words to explain it. And I think maybe Sarah and I were talking one time, and I said to Sarah, you know what's really weird how this happens? God, in my life, God does me. And I don't even understand, why am I going through that? I mean, I have no words to understand this. But then later on, he'll show me what was going on there. But I have to get through it before he shows me. And so where we are going now with fear and with anxiety, it's a new road. But I'll tell you what, we're going to come out of it. We're going to come out of it better. And I'm going to tell you what, we're going to use what we're learning to help others. God will get the glory. I promise you, God will get the glory. And when I first went into it, it shut me down, and I can't explain. I'm just going to be brutally honest. Because I couldn't explain it, and because where I had walked, it was like this easy road. It was just the warm fuzzies with Jesus. And especially when revival hit, it was like, oh, the warm fuzzies. And so over the past, I would say 5 years, maybe really bad over the past 2 years, I could not put my finger on it. I didn't even have a grid work to handle this. And then my daughter got sick. And I'm going, my God, this is not even possible. How is it? We've been a healthy family. And God has just been saying, Kay, pick up your legacy. And I'm saying to you as church people, whether you have a legacy of that you can pick up from your parents, you have a legacy you can pick up from your Father God, and it's found in his word. And we are walking into a time, church, where God's going to say, either pick it up or you're going to struggle underneath things you were never intended to struggle under. And anxiety is one of those things. We're going to get through this, and if it takes deadening it for a little while, I'm going to learn, and I'm going to come out of this better. But I will tell you that what I did, and don't do this, what I did, because I couldn't, I thought, well, I must be doing something wrong. Because, you know, you start trying to figure out, did I offend you, God? I mean, why is this happening? There's no reason why my husband fell down those steps. This is so off my grid work. What is going on? And now anxiety and our business, it's like, what? And then my daughter, and these are totally all happening at the same time. And yet I could hear, I remember my daddy, He was a powerhouse in the kingdom of God. There was nothing the enemy could bring where I just figured when my dad prayed at night, I could hear him down there. He was a warrior. And I could just, when I heard him praying, and he would be the old house over here, he'd go down and he'd take off in prayer. And I could sleep. I mean, he was loud, but it was like that was a, I thought, no demon of hell's dare come in this house tonight. So I'm going to sleep. It was peace for me hearing my dad down there warfaring. But the saints of God are dying off, and we're battling in anxiety and depression and things that there's no grid work for it. And we're in America, the most blessed country in the world. We go to Haiti, and they have no medication. They can't even go to the doctors. But on Sunday, they outpraise us. I mean, they're up there, and I'm going, the first time it happened, I'm going, they're up there dancing. What do they have to dance about? I mean, they're worried about, but they outdance. You know what? God is worthy. And here's the thing. No matter what we're going through, it's got to quit defining who we are in Christ. It's got to quit defining how God feels about us. Because what I did was I began to back away. I began to say, well, you know, I better not pray for people. How can I even pray for people if I can't even pray out of this mess myself? I'm taking my hands off people. I'm not warfaring. Because, in fact, this is really weird. My name, I've named after my dad, Neil. And so they say, I don't know if this is true, but they say that I was supposed to be like the only child, because it was my older brother and sister are 11 and 13 years older. So then they start having this other family. And Rick always tells my brother, teases about, but he says, you were supposed to be a boy. They were very disappointed. And so they had Neil picked out. You were born. They're going, shoot, put an A on the end of the name. You know, it was, but here's the thing. However it happened, that's probably not true. But his name means warrior. Neil means warrior. And my daddy, I mean, what are the chances of way back when my dad was born that God would give him that name? And that name holds power. So for me, I didn't know it, but I know warfare. And that is a very area over the last 3 years where I have been severely beaten up in. And I'm coming out of it, people. I'm coming out of it now. And I am telling you, the enemy is not going to have that luxury anymore of taking me down and making me feel defeated and what's wrong with you and something's wrong with you. God sometimes is allowing it because he's teaching us. He loves us. So I would hide away up there in the sound room. I'm just gonna be brutally honest. it was a safe place. And I always hoped, I thought, you know, like when Harris comes, I love my pastor. I love you guys. Thank you, Jesus. My dad would just be all over you. But I would be up there and I would think, okay, this person's struggling and I'm not in a place to be called on to warfare for that person. I'm thinking, Pastor, don't call me down. Please don't call me down. I'm a loser here. I can't do this. And it was like a safety place because I must have done something wrong. But what happened at the beginning of this year, something shifted. And we're coming into a time, here's the deal. God wants every one of us to be part of the end time army that's going to go into the dark places of the world that haven't even had anyone challenge it yet. We're going to walk out there and we're going to begin to take territory back that the church has never challenged because we've been a seeker friendly and here's the thing, we're going to be different. We've got to be okay with being different. People are not going to like us because we're different. It doesn't mean we're putting them down, but if I don't want to embrace your, we're running into things already. I will not embrace the drinking as it's okay to drink. I'm sorry if you agree with it, but that to me is a cop-out. It's what the Holy Spirit's job is. I don't need to drink. And going through all this, I wish I did. It's like, oh! There were... Take that off. There were nights that I was like, because everybody talks about I've never drank a drop in my life, but I'm thinking, well, wine, what would it feel like to feel, you know? But I'm glad I didn't. I am filled. But here's the deal. At the beginning of this year, the Lord just said, Kay, it's time for you to come out of this. You got to let it go. And I knew at that point, I'm going to be brutally honest, the Lord said, if you don't, right now, let me heal you and show you and deliver you, I'm going to move on. It's your legacy, but I can't wait because, you know, Jesus is coming. And it's not that God didn't want to use me, but he has to get my life in order. He has to clean me. And he said, Kay, you got to trust me with this because you have embedded the lies of the enemy in you that you're worthless, you've done something wrong, God doesn't love you, and you're hiding away. And so I spent a few days just alone with him, and oh my goodness, I cannot believe what the condition that I'd allowed myself to get into, but God was so wonderful. And my eyes are open now. If I'm going to love people, I have to be free myself. And I'm telling you people out here, God is not against you, never has been against you. I don't know what you're going through. It may be the biggest giant it is, but it's not that God's against you. He's got plans for you. And probably you that have been put through over the last 2 or 3 years some really hard stuff, you're probably being prepared for ministry. You're probably being prepared to walk into something big. So if that helps you tonight, just go home and rejoice. But so the first thing God said, Kay, and I didn't want, I would come to church and I'd think, well, I really don't want people problems. Just don't want them. I mean, I love people. I'm a people person. I'm a Gale. What can I say? So, Sonny, what did happen? Okay. Satan's mad. So, okay, I will. Oh, it's not stopping me. I'm coming. So he said, I didn't want to be with people. Well, where we're going, we're going to be with people all over the place. God's going to send us out to the world of lost people. And to bear a harvest, you're going to be thrown in with people. And they're probably not going to be the nice, tidy people that we have here. So if you can't handle people in church, you're in big trouble for what's coming. And you might as well just pull yourself out of the revival mode because God can't use you. I think I broke it, honey. Forgive me. It's the, okay, never mind. I'm married to the sound man. Okay, so here's the deal. The Lord said to me, first of all, love the people. Oh, thank you.
You want me to change? Thank you, Sarah. I love this lady. Oh, there you go. Okay, not stopping me. Moving on. Not stopping. We've got to interact with people. And there's going to be people that are, the world is full of depression and full of anxiety. It's just loaded with it. I have never seen, even in the house of God, so much medication for anxiety and depression. And just trying to get through a day, I'm not against medication, but it can't be a crutch. Here's the deal. God wants his people free, and I have to love people. I can't be hiding away from people, and I can't be upset with people that are different than me. I won't embrace some of the things they're doing, but it's going to be a different revival, and God's preparing us. So God said, you need to connect with people again. I want you to connect, and I begin to break, and God said, I love those people, and if you want to embrace my heart, you love them so much that you'll weep with them. You'll hurt with them. You love them so much that you'll lay your soul out for them. You love them so much that you would do anything to see them get healed. You do that because that's what I do all the time. And so then the next thing was, he said, I need you to come out of hibernation. So I'm sitting there going, I'm not hibernating. What? And so he began to take me back, and he began to show me, you know, hiding up in the crow's nest, that you're hibernating yourself from people. I didn't go to a lot of the events because it was like I'd have to be with people. So the Lord just said, start coming out. So people have been asking, why are you coming to this? And I just say, I'm obeying the Lord, and he's healing me. I am a healed person. I could just tell you. I'll just tell you that. But here's the thing. Where we were going, anxiety and depression, which is not a thing, fear will bring you down. And I hope that tonight, if you've listened to Lou Giglio, that you will start identifying. Go. We did this in our home. We started, I'd say, you know, okay, Sonny, what is it tonight? Let's identify it. And it, in, so we would identify and we'd just start naming it. And in even so specific, and I think I put it in your notes, even as specific, because the book gives you a lot of, as saying, the bill is due. I've got a bill due. It's for $916. I mean, that's getting really specific. And the fact is, God, I don't have the money to pay it. Now, that's getting pretty specific. And I think he's right on. We've tried this, and it has been working. Or my daughter is with a guy, name the name, and I don't trust him. You know, just you just specifically name them. Or my first chemo treatment's at 10 o'clock tomorrow with Dr. Oneida, and I'm afraid of the outcome, God. And just speak it out. There's something about bringing, because everything under the rug is something the enemy uses. When you have brought the whole thing out into the light, it's like, I just talked to God about it, because you leave something out, you know, you're saying, I have anxiety tonight, you know, I'm really worried about tomorrow. And he can still remind you, you've got chemo tomorrow, you've got some, but when you say, oh, wait a minute, I told the Lord about that chemo. I told him it's 10 o'clock with Dr. Oneida. He's very aware of it. So he's got it. And you know, it's a new way, because we want to cover things, but I honestly, this has been amazing. We have tried it and it has been working. It's like we're changing a mindset, so it's not perfect yet, but I encourage each of you, this is workable, this is doable, this is like nuts and bolts about how, when anxiety hits. And so just identifying it, and that has really, really helped us. And the thing is, Goliath, when you think about Goliath, that he's already dead, whatever you're going through isn't a surprise to God. He already conquered it. And the only thing that keeps us from struggling with it is the fact that we're not aware, or we don't remember God's got this. He already defeated it. So in the middle of the night, when you're struggling, I don't know, there's something about night. It's a time where the power of the enemy has a greater authority, but there's something about nighttime. We've got to bear, remember the snake analogy? Bury the head. Bury that head. Don't let it get its fangs in you. Bury it under the sand and say, not going there. Bury it. But it's time for us to say to the Lord, I am standing on what you already did for me. And if we don't, I believe that these sessions right now are so timely, because do you guys know the presence of God when you walk in here on Sunday is elevated to the point where I'm like, whoa, it's going to explode, and pretty soon we're all going to be slain, and I don't know what's going to happen, but it's something is about to explode in this place. If you are not ready to carry the glory of God, which he wants to give you, if you're holding on to bitterness, if you're holding on to fear, if you're holding on to rejection, and some of the other things, anger is another, a big one too. Anger, if you're holding on to them and you're saying, well, it's just the way I am. No, it's not the way God made you. It's not in his character. He does have a righteous anger, and the Bible does say there is a time, but it's not vented against a person, ever. It's never. So when I'm in warfare, you will hear me raise my voice. The morning that I had it, you probably would have heard me next door, because I was mad, and I wasn't mad at Sonny. I was mad at the enemy, and he and it was like, you stop now. I'm sick of you, Satan. You get off our property. You get out of my house. You leave my husband alone. Get out of here. Get out of his job. Get out of his life. Get out of his health. I'm through with you. And man, oh man, we were just, it was just, Sonny's like grabbing the bottom of the bed. But it was like, I've had it. And there'll come a point where that anger comes out, but it's vented against the proper thing. And Satan knows I'm done. And the Bible says he'll flee from you. He will flee from you. There's no trying to reason with you. When you start warfaring like that, he flees. It scares him, and he knows he's done for. But God has seated you. You are, the truth is, He's made a place up in glory, and read it in Ephesians, where you're seated with him. He took authority over powers of darkness and sin and death and hell and the grave. And when he went and seated himself, this is where the church has been lax, very lax in. But we're getting it now. When we were seated with him, Satan knows that that's our proper inheritance. He knows it full well. So our ignorance has helped Satan all these many, many years. And here's what I'm telling you. He's through with this church. He's through with our people. He's through because we're on to what he's doing. And we're through with him pushing us around when Jesus already defeated him. And I'm going to stand up on him. And here's the thing. When that anxiety comes, this is the big one. Anxiety comes. And it's like I told Sonny. Sonny, when those chest pains come with anxiety, are you picture yourself, you're seated with God, and he goes, yep, I'm picturing it, and that we have something visual that we can fight with. You need to find how to fight the enemy. He wants you to be free. Maybe that won't work with you. It's worked great with us because it's in the scripture, and we need to picture ourselves. So where we are going, anxiety, depression, all of the anger, comfort, that's an ouch one in America. We're going to get into that. Has no place in God's children. And it's a tool. Remember how I talked to you the first week about the enemy can only have rights over you, what you give him the rights over. An embedded lie, like with me, it was, well, I don't have my dad's inheritance. My dad died. It died. It went to the grave. I always thought, Dad, that I would work and that I could be a warrior for the kingdom of God, but it's gone, you know. That was a total lie from the enemy. It was totally a lie. I'm walking free from it. I'm walking out of it. And so, you know, some people, when God reveals things, I kind of go overboard. So when he said, you know, come out of hibernation, it's like I'd been hiding up there. So I got in the back of the church, I thought, okay, God, I'm out of hibernation. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, no, as a warrior, I need you up front. I need you praying for the lost. I need you speaking in tongues. And so, God, up front. Oh, but you know what? You're just so desperate. I want to walk out. So it's like, I'm up front. And so I don't care what you think of me. I'm up front. And I'll tell you what, I'm speaking in tongues the whole time that things are going on. And the warrior is alive in me. I don't know what your walk with the Lord's going to be. He has a purpose. He has a plan. He has a desire for you. And you'd better find out what it is. And you'd better say to God, I'm yours. I'm open. Reveal to me what's there that's holding it back. There's some of you, and I've talked with some of you, have got ministries and healing. I know that. You've got ministries and healing. A man talked last night and said, I feel like I've got the gift of discernment. I said, well, you know, how do I know it's God? Well, I'm pretty sure the enemy is not going to tell you, let's give you the gift of discernment so you can defeat me. I'm pretty sure that it's okay. I think it's God. So we love that. So, you know, those are gifts of the Holy Spirit. So with all of that, tonight I want to, it's getting late, but I really want, I know we have to pick up our kids at 8 o'clock, but I really feel like we need to, however God chooses to break off, we're dealing with anxiety or fear. I keep going to anxiety and it's fear. We're dealing with fear. And tonight, if your spirit resonates, I've been fearful. I've had this big giant, and it's been like a Goliath. It's been taunting me. Here's the thing. All the enemy can do initially, he can put things in your head. You decide where they go from there. So he can put thoughts in your head, and you know God's not telling you you're defeated. God's not telling you you're going to lose your job or you're going to be poor. God's not telling you, you know, that job's going to fall. God doesn't tell his people that. You know it. But the moment that, so he puts it in, that's the only place the enemy has, the battlefield is right here. It's right here. And you have to recognize he can put the thoughts in, but from there, it's on you how far he's going to take it. And I will tell you this, that if you entertain that thought, he's got you. He's got you. And it's very difficult to get out of it. And so from this point on, we're going to pray. And I believe, if you're here tonight, I believe that there is victory coming in your life. I'm believing. I've been praying. As I'm preparing for this, I don't know, Sarah, if you do this, but I'll weep. It's like, God, please set the people free. Please, it's my church. This is my peeps. You are my peeps. I want you all set free. I want you walking in victory. And we're going to need each other. The harvest that's coming isn't a one-person harvest. It's going to take all of us working together. And if you have a part of your life that hasn't been given to the Lord, that it's a secret thing, the enemy is going to, he's got authority to come to take you down, to cause you to go into anxiety, to cause you to do that. And the three things, and we went through this at our home, the three things, if you're concealing something, who would have thought? But if you're concealing, like you have something in your past, you've never ever talked about it to anyone, but it's a secret. You're concealing it. Bring it out in the open. Confess it. Because the Bible says, confess your sins, and then he's faithful and righteous to forgive your sins. Why does he do that? He knows what's there, but the confession is not for him, it's for you. And you own it, and then you say, I want it gone, and you give it to God, but you have to own your sin. And then he'll do something about it. So over the past weeks, we have been doing it all. The conditioning. If he talked about conditioning, you come from a family where they were afraid of things. That probably is something that's been in your spirit from a little child. But I've got news for you. It's going to break off. It's going to go. It's got to go because we're going to walk into it. And this is the big one. Controlling. Who would have thought controlling leads to anxiety? Who would have thought? But you cannot control your situations. And it's a helpless thing when you feel like you can control the situation and the situation isn't changing. Then anxiety does hit because I've done something wrong. So those are the three things that we have to find out. Why is this anxiety and this depression? What's giving it permission in my life? What am I harboring? Which one of those three things is it coming from? And just lay yourself before the Lord. Just lay yourself before the Lord. He is faithful and he's righteous, and he has been waiting for this moment for his church to just say, let it all be gone. And some of you have, it's a normal thing for you. Maybe you have, it's just the way I am. Well, if it's different than God's character, it's not the way you should be. That's just all I'm going to say. So if you can unload on someone in anger, that's a person that God loves. No matter what they did, you can be angry at Satan. And there is a righteous anger. If someone's going to get my grandchildren, you're probably going to see my anger. If you're going after because I'm going to protect them with everything in me, or my daughter. But it's time to come clean. And I honestly believe the timing on this session couldn't be better, because 2019, the Lord told me, 2019 is the year where he's preparing, and it's his glory is going to, it's going to go into places like we've never seen. His presence is going to escalate. It's going to have, everything that we do is going to happen quickly. I am amazed at people that God's using, and if you jump in and you just say, I'll just do it, he will jump in and he will use you. And so it's time, church, that we walk in our inheritance. How many of you agree? How many of you can say, I want to be free and I want everything God has for me? Amen. We all want that, don't we? So tonight, I want to take a moment, and I wish I could lay hands on everyone, but we're just gonna have you raise your hands and pray. But I believe there's a lot of us here that we suffer with fear in different forms. It manifests itself in different forms. But number one is, it doesn't give God glory. There's no glory God gets in fear. In fact, he says, perfect love casteth out all fear. So our love needs to be perfected. And that's one of the other things earlier in the year, that the Lord said, your fear needs to go. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not fearful. And he revealed, I had the darkness. You know, you need to get out in the dark. If you really, really have perfect love, you can come out in the darkness, and it's like dark, 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 and you can worship me in the darkness. And I'm thinking, well, God. So in my heart, honestly, if I didn't do it, I didn't believe God was with me in the darkness, that he wasn't big enough. But I'll tell you what, when God, it may be crazy what he asks you to do, but do it. Because I am telling you, it will blow your mind what God does with you. He sometimes will ask things out of the box. Go talk to that person. Go pray with that person. God, I'm in the middle of Walmart, whatever. I'm telling you, do it. My husband's really good at this. He'll see someone, and I know when it's going to happen. He'll start crying, and I'm going, you're going to go pray for that wheelchair person. Or that girl, we were at Cracker Barrel on vacation, a little girl, she had some type of mental handicap, and she couldn't talk, and we're sitting there eating. He's going, oh, and I'm going, you're going to pray, aren't you? He goes, I can't get out from under it. So he went over, and he said to the parents, can I just want to pray for your daughter. And they go, oh, please, please do. But that's the kind of stuff, it's out of our box, but if you will do it, God will honor that, and he will release something in your life that he's been waiting to do. But we're going to be taking risks. How many of you are ready to take risks? It's time. And when if you will say to God, God, whatever you ask, I'm going to do it. I don't care if it seems crazy. So I will tell you, I went out, I took, it was middle of the night, black, because we're at this cabin and it's all wooded. And I think I shared this first on the first session, but I went out there. Something broke off me. I mean, I can't tell you. It was like, I came back in and I'm like, nothing can hurt me. There is nothing that can hurt me. If they dare come up here, they're going to drop dead, because it's like this is a holy place. God is here with me. If you even touch this cabin in a way that you think you're going to hurt me, you're going to drop over like the Ark of Covenant. I mean, it's like I was the safest place to be. So God's going to take you places, but he's going to put you in places where you're going to have to take risks. And if you don't, he's not going to make you do it. He's not a God that wants robots. He wants obedience. And so you're here tonight. So I'm saying to you, you did it to yourself. Thank you for coming. But you're going to have some risks you're going to have to take. Guaranteed. I guarantee, because I've been praying. And it's for me too. And it's for my hubby. It's for all of us. I will take the risk because I want everything. So let's take a moment. I have about 4 minutes. Let's take a moment. And, wow, I don't know what to do. If you don't have to, but if you have fear in your life and it's resonated in you that I'm fearful, and you don't even have to identify what it is, but I'm fearful. I recognize that I'm fearful. I've got an area where fear has encompassed me. Tonight, we're going to lay it at the cross of Jesus. Isn't it neat that Good Friday's coming? That represents the cross of Jesus. What better night to lay that fear down? If anyone had a right to be fearful, it would have been Jesus. I mean, he knew what was coming. He already knew, I'm going to be nailed to the cross. And he's loving, we shared this, and he's loving people in spite of it. He knew. And he had every right. So he had conquered fear. And that's exactly what we're going to walk in. So tonight, whatever you're going through, whatever the giant is, in your spirit, name that giant. Call it by name and begin to say, this is what it is. Maybe this is who's causing it. And I want this gone, and I'm going to come against it. And I will guarantee you that we will pray, but the enemy doesn't like letting go. So he's probably going to come back in, and he's probably going to try it again. But you remind him something happened. If you need to write this date down and write this night down and say, that night, it stopped. It stopped that night. And I'm standing on my victory, and it's going to begin to happen. So Jesus, right now, we are in a holy place. This is a place, Father, where we've come to hear what you have for us. And I believe, Father, that what you have for us right now is a cleansing. What you have for us right now is a healing. What you have for us right now, Father, you're offering freedom from fear. You're offering freedom from the anxiety and the depression that that fear brings. You're offering freedom from them tonight. And Father, I feel in my spirit, Father, that there's many people here that they know, they recognize it. And Lord, no matter what happens in our life, if we love you, perfect love casteth out all fear. Father, I speak against right now in the name of Jesus, you giant of fear, you drop at the cross and the feet of Jesus. We recognize that you are defeated. You are a defeated foe. Good Friday's coming. We're going to remember what Jesus did for us. He died on a cross. He took authority over every demon, over every sin, over everything in my past. He took authority over everything. And in the name of Jesus, I'm standing tonight upon the authority of Jesus Christ. Lord, in the name of Jesus, may everyone within the sound of my loud voice, may they, Lord, recognize tonight, this night, fear is coming down. And Father, if there needs to be confessions that are done, let us begin to let them go. Let us begin to confess, because Lord, if we confess our sins, you're faithful, you're righteous to forgive us our sins. So fear, you fall. I hear you tumbling right now. I hear the tumble of fear. The big Goliath is falling. It's going to thud to the ground, and we're not bearing that fear anymore. Jesus is picking it up, and he's saying, I've been waiting for this, and now we're going to walk in freedom, and we're going to bear a harvest, and we're going to see souls set free because of what you're doing in our lives. And so Jesus, tonight, we let go, and we let God. And Lord, right now, fear has met its match, because we know that Jesus already conquered you. We know that Jesus has already given us what we need to live in a conquered life, free from fear. And right now, Lord, in this room, do you feel the Holy Spirit? It's a workshop. It's a workshop for the Holy Spirit right now. He's moving around through the pews, and he's moving down through the aisles, and he's looking. And he's saying, I'll take that. He's looking, and if you are just saying to God, I've got to have you, Jesus, he's saying to you, I'm standing right here, and I'll take that for you. I'll take it. It's not yours anymore. Freedom is coming. Thank you for your workshop. Thank you for your holy ground. Thank you for the work of the cross, Jesus. We owe you everything. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Do you just...